I'm sure you can feel the movement of the texts that the church gives us as we move toward actually celebrating and entering into the mystery of the death and the suffering and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, in the first reading from Wisdom chapter 2, we have this thinking. This opposition to the just man. We don't like him. In fact, we'd like to kill him because his whole being is a censure of our life. And so, let's put him to the test. Let's see if God really is his Father. These words, as you know, are put on the lips, some of these, especially in Matthew's Gospel, on the lips of the mockers at the cross. These very words. These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them. And they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. These are the wicked. When our Lord came, there were others, like Simeon, who knew the hidden counsels of God. The Holy Spirit had told him, you will not die until you see the Christ of God. This just man, who now will start to emerge from the, hard to say how to describe this, there is this ani, this poor man. And he's there. It's like catching sight of him, or many facets of him, as it were. He's walking in the forest, and you get a glimpse here, and you get a glimpse there. Here's a glimpse today. This persecuted, just man, this suffering poor man. But little by little now, he's beginning to emerge. And we can recognize his face, just start to recognize his face. This one poor man who relies totally on God, who suffers and is persecuted. This one man who reaches from one end of creation to the other, from one end of time to the other, is Jesus Christ. That's why the New Testament can so easily just see him. And all those who also are poor can see him. Those who are rely only on God. In the Psalm today, Psalm 34, we have this refrain, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are not the ones who failed in a love affair. The brokenhearted are those who have had their pride broken. And they are really lowly and humble and look to God for everything with great joy, even in suffering. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And those who are crushed in spirit, he saved. You recognize those words? They're also in Psalm 51, exactly the same words. Many are the troubles of the just man, but out of them all the Lord delivers him. And then this interesting line, which St. John will pick up in the Passion, he watches over all his bones, not one of them shall be broken. Isn't that the prescription for the Paschal Lamb? Not one bone of his shall be broken. So that this suffering just man is already likened to the Paschal Lamb. You see how these things are starting to come out. As they center in Jesus, we see them. When the Lord, soldier pierced our Lord's side with a lance, and there were two texts that John evokes for there, one from Zechariah, and the other regarding the Paschal Lamb, not a bone of his shall be broken. But it's exactly the fate of the just man too. And so we move on in chapter 7 of John. We finish chapter 5, and we're not going to do 6. We move on to 7 and 8 to try to get another sense of the opposition to Jesus. But you know, we're not looking to see what's wrong with the bad guys. We're looking to see where we oppose Jesus, where we are the same. Oh, a little bit of piety is better than none, but this is pretty radical, you know. And so we begin this chapter 7, and this block in St. John's Gospel goes from chapter 7 down to almost the end of chapter 10, and it's all centered on one feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And that's the feast that commemorates God's care for his people during all the desert wanderings, when they had nothing and depended on God for everything. And they recall that with gratitude. There's a saying in the Mishnah, if someone has never experienced the joy of Sukkot, they have no idea what joy is. And so our Lord goes up now to the feast, huh? And he's there, and he starts to talk. We've already just heard he didn't go right away. He didn't like to go down there because to the south, because he knows they're trying to kill him. But he goes, and he speaks openly. And Jesus cried out again in the temple. This in these chapters 79, 10, he's always in the temple. And so we have this notion here, you see. He cried out in the temple. So you know me. And you know where I am from. I'm not just from Galilee. I'm from the Eternal Father. I am God of God and light of light. And I'm here in your midst to tell you about the Father, to prepare your hearts. I know that soon I'll die. And I'll die because of this opposition to God. Now, why does the church, first it wants us to understand the dynamics in the Passion of Jesus. But right now, also, where is my opposition to Jesus? Where do I just don't want to do something? Where am I in opposed to Jesus? It'll happen our whole life long because he, as much as he loves us, as much as he forgives us, as much as he wants to be with us, he cannot compromise the truth. And he won't. And that's where we stay away from him. We don't like that. You know, as Augustine once said, people love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. And so this is an invitation. Remember, this comes from the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not... It's inviting us to come, take a look, yield to me. You know, turn your heart to me. This is Lent. We're getting ready together, you and I, he says, to celebrate the death, my death, the act of love that I did as I died on the cross, and the life of the whole universe that came from it, starting with my own human body. That's what we celebrate. There would be no cause for celebration, ever, lasting, if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'd have nothing to look forward to except death in this world and in the next. It's that powerful. And so we begin today, this text, huh? And so he does tell them, I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him. You want to know where I'm from? I'm from the Father. That's where I'm from. Not just Galilee. This is an invitation to us now. The Lord would so much like to bring us, free us from sin, and bring us so that we start to get this understanding of where he's from. And as the rest of this mystery starts to open up for us, we'll turn from our opposition to him and obey him. The power of these texts is unimaginable. The more we let these texts into our heart, the more we're freed, the more we're joyful, the more we're realistic, and the less afraid we are to die to sin and to live to God. And that's why they're here for us.